Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Friday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Today's Friday.
Broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. So let me just say this. Louisville tied with Florida State. Florida State who beat Notre Dame, but Louisville who lost to Syracuse. Syracuse should be a top 10 team right now, Mike Harmon. Using those transitive properties,
I think that's how
it should work.
The worst thing I ever did was try to teach you some math. Because look at how you can apply it to your evil ways.
Well, because then Florida State beat LSU, and I can go all the way down LSU with Brian Kelly, everything through. Syracuse should be a top 10 team. They should be a top 10 team.
I like the cut of your jib.
I will say, because I'm rooting for Louisville, because every week that Louisville plays well, and the nationally televised game right now, Florida State and Louisville tied at 21 apiece, Florida State 2-0, the better Louisville does, the better that crushing win over Louisville looks, the more votes we get, and I can buy a t-shirt that says top 25 ranked for the first time in 40 years. I'd be very excited.
You should start designing one right now.
Oh, I got it. It's just orange with a middle finger on it. No. It's
that's not a bad way to go. Hey, you know what? You'd move a lot of units.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Hey, speaking of units, TJ. So happy football Friday. And, you know, this is great. You know, getting a week two of the NFL season, another week college football. We got football Fridays all the way through the end of the year. I know it's hard because you think about how hot it is right now. You know, the heat wave seems to be breaking a little bit. I'm already seeing Christmas trees in Costco, Mike Harmon. So we're already rolling down that road, man.
I've already picked out what I'm getting everybody for the holidays. I was debating giving them to the folks, to y'all early, so that you can use them for your, you know, football festivities. But then what do I get you at Christmas?
Well, if it's a sandwich, give it to me now. Don't save that sandwich till Christmas.
No, I'm going to save it like Homer Simpson. I could never stay mad at you.
When he ate the whole sandwich, it was going bad. He just keep taking bites out of it going,
and now it's turning gray. It's on the top of the trash can.
I remember that. That was so
It's
awesome.
One of the great episodes of all time. They got a lot of them to pick from.
So. Oh, hey, there's tons. Big night tonight in Major League Baseball. Obviously, the Mets have already won, and the Braves are down 2-1 in the eighth inning to the Phillies.
Did you see the day my AL MVP pick had today?
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter because he went a month without hitting one. But three home runs from Jordan Alvarez.
That's great. He's only 37 behind Judge, and he's second in the American
37?
League.
37?
Shut up. I mean, this shows you he hadn't hit one in a while. He was hurt, out of the lineup, and he's having a phenomenal year. And then you look at Aaron Judge and you go, oh, wow, yeah, that's. That's picked a bad time to have a really good year if he wants to win MVP.
Well, there you go. And on the other side, you got Babe Schwarber's got 39 now, getting it done.
Yeah,
fun time of year, though. Three more weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, but Schwarber, if I'm right, he's got 39 home runs and 43 RBI.
That's about right.
Is that his number? Okay, I want to make sure I get that right.
Judges are solo shots? Isn't it like 40 of his?
Yes. Yes, and of course I say it. Now the Braves just take the bleeping lead. You know, it was 2-1 forever. I come on the air and say something, and now suddenly it's 3-2. I hate baseball.
You spoke it into existence.
I know. I hate baseball. I hate baseball. I hate it.
No, you don't.
I hate it. I hate baseball.
You love it. The only thing you love more is the concept of your Syracuse Orange suddenly being a top 25 team.
I'm feeling happy about that.
And then just like when all those closers had perfect innings, that's another sign of the apocalypse.
Hey, you know, shouldn't those closers that we talk about, shouldn't Hader and Kimbrel and Jansen all come out? All their entrance music should all be going to make you sweat by CNC Music Factory. Shouldn't that be their entrance music? I mean, forget about Let It Go and, you know, Narco. No. It should be going to make you sweat because that's what happens when these guys come in the game. At least they're telling you what to expect. I know what to expect. These guys are coming in. They're going to make me sweat. Going to make you sweat till you bleed. Is that dope enough? Indeed. That should be the entrance song for all three of those pitchers.
That's not bad.
I like that. But we begin tonight. Got a big night of football. We're going to give you our upset special picks. We're going to preview the college games, the big NFL games. Got some big blowouts potentially on the horizon on Sunday.
Some big friends stopping by to talk about everything in your wagering interests.
But last night, we talked about I don't want to say the genius of Adam Silver, but the hot take that Adam Silver wants Robert Sarver, Suns owner, banned for life. He's just too afraid to do it, right? I've told you so. And every time you see Adam Silver do something, you come around to my way of thinking that he doesn't want to do anything. He's afraid. He has no spine. He has no backbone. He doesn't want to take on the players with anything that's important. Doesn't want to take on the owners with anything that's important because he works for them. He won't stand up for a minute when something right needs to be done. 17 years of misbehavior that includes racism, misogyny, and still Robert Sarver gets a 1-year suspension. He has this crazy press conference in which Adam Silver basically portrays himself as, I'm just the commissioner. I don't know what to do. I couldn't give him a more of a punishment than this. I don't know how to equivocate a $10 million fine with an owner, with an employee. I just don't know. And he looked awful for a day. And then I thought, is this the plan all along? Because you knew when he stepped out and did his thing and explained his reasoning, it was going to be roundly criticized, and the players would jump in, and it would get worse for Sarver. And eventually, as you and I said, Sarver's going to have control wrested away from him. Eventually, he's not going to be the Suns owner. Well, what happened? We saw LeBron James weigh in. This is a bad decision. This was the wrong decision. Chris Paul weighed in. That was the wrong decision. You had the Suns minority owner a day ago say Sarver needs to be banned. And now the NBPA executive director, Tamika Tremaglio, said she's speaking on behalf of all the NBA players when she called for a lifetime ban of Robert Sarver. Okay? Now she says, I am speaking for all the NBA players. So now it looks like Adam Silver is going to get what he wants. He knows he has to get Sarver out of the league, but he doesn't want to upset the owners because the owners are going to be upset and going, wait, this is the second owner now you kicked out of the league. Okay, I get that Sterling was racist and I get this is bad, but you're starting to kick owners out of the league and you work for us. So because of his spinelessness, his plan, this hot take now, really looks like it's legit, that he came out soft on purpose, knowing full well that this was going to be the response by the players, by the league, and they weren't going to rest with a one-year suspension for Robert Sarver. So now, with this uprising all across the league that, hey, this was wrong and this needs to be done better, and it does, because I still can't believe Robert Sarver only gets a year suspension, and he was upset about it. Now that this happened, Adam Silver can go back to the owners and said, hey, the game's in trouble. I got to do something here, and I got to ban Robert Sarver. I don't want to do it, but I kind of have to. And the owners will have to capitulate. They'll have to agree and say, yes, we understand. We know you didn't want to do it. You gave him a year ban, but wow, the players are really mad. This is really bad. Coaches don't like it. Nobody likes this. Yes, we understand. You have to do what you have to do. And he's going to get the right result, which is Robert Sarver out of the game. The players will be happy because they will have gotten him out. And the owners, even though they won't be happy, they will be satisfied that it wasn't Adam Silver pushing on this, saying, hey, I got to get another bad owner out of the game. It's almost as if he shrugged his shoulders saying, I can't do anything else. I have to get rid of the guy. And the owners are going to say, we understand. And he's going to get this whole thing solved and not have to worry about standing up and making a stand. It's going to feel like, well, I have to do this because it's all laid out for me.
Yeah, I'm looking through it, and one of the things, as we talked with Rick Bucher on Wednesday, Jason, and it's the old mantra that runs through, and Rick made sure to highlight it, is, you know, follow the money and how things start to flow in terms of large corporate partners to the league, to the team itself, as you go through. And there was a big moment earlier where PayPal issued a statement saying, hey, we're not going to renew the deal if Sarver remains involved with the Suns after the season. PayPal's deal with the Suns ends after this season. Now, here's the thing. From everything, I'm trying to find, you know, cold, hard numbers to this. The only thing that I've been able to find are a couple of reports that say it's worth about $3 million a year. Guess what? $3 million a year ain't moving the needle, folks, in terms of forcing a guy out. They'll find another company to put a logo on there. But if you have pressure from some of the sponsors and partners that are tied to the league's television packages, tied to just overall the official insert product here of the NBA, then you start talking, because now we're talking substantive money and maybe a trickle-down effect. But a threat from PayPal about a $3 million patch on their jerseys, that's a nice start if you're looking for the end game of Sarver being removed. That's not it. Now, he's still contending. You're taking these things out of context, or I was joking, or I didn't understand, trying to do all that. You know, I've been in corporate culture, and I've been around here all these years. I had no idea. But now I'm learning. I don't know that it's going to fly, right? Because one of the big arguments they made was, well, it has been better the last couple of years. Same argument that's been made by the Washington Commanders trying to save the bacon of Snyder up in there. So it's the financial pressure. LeBron and Chris Paul and everybody speaking out. The guy who has the second most shares of the Suns, I don't know how much weight that really has. Because that becomes you're looking to make a power play. So that's taken with a grain of salt. But the fact that you do have people that are part of the larger ownership group, I guess, does have some weight just lessened a bit by the self-interest in that regard. But it is something for the NBA PA. They've got to keep pressing it, right? They can't let this die. And maybe goes back to, we had that Sports Illustrated profile of Steph Curry that came out. I think that was either last week or the week before, where one of his regrets that he laid out in the article was not walking away when there was the threat of a boycott related to Donald Sterling. Curry, LeBron James, Chris Paul, and others may need to lead a similar and actually execute such a strategy if they really want to push the needle on this one.
I'm sure they will. And the only reason it hasn't been even hotter, and it's pretty hot right now, is because we're not playing.
Right, teams they're not in camp.
Teams aren't
right?
in they're camp. Not they're not together. Right, yeah. But for not being together, they seem pretty together. Right, I mean, they're
well. I mean, technology
this,
but, is yeah. The best of things and the worst of things, right. Depending on your point of view.
But when guys are in the locker room every day and they're talking about it, and it's easier to make plans, easier to say this is what we're going to do. I understand. Yes, you have my support. It would have happened a little bit faster. This may be a little bit more of a slow burn, but yeah, it's going to happen. And if nothing is done, you're going to get the players to say we're not going to play if you don't ban him free. And then what are you going to do? And is Adam Silver really going to say, no, I'm going to stand behind an owner and 17 years of misogynistic behavior rather than players who are saying, hey, do the right thing for both men and women and racially? Are you really going to do that? Is Adam Silver really going to say, yep, I got to stand behind Robert Sarver? No way. No way. Players are going to make this happen. And in the end, it's going to be the players who wind up getting the right result. Because this is not an allegation. This is not a report. This was not one night at a holiday party where I got loose-lipped and said things I shouldn't have, which is still wrong. This is 17 years.
Yeah, it's systematic.
17 years
and across so many different people. I mean, they interviewed 320 people.
It's a lot of people, man.
You got a lot of things. You got a full section just on interactions with Earl Watson saying, don't do that. What are you thinking? Saying this, that, repeating what Draymond had to say in circumstances, using all the language that here in 2022, I think anybody that's older than three knows you can't use. So it's just a curiosity now of how much that pressure ramps up. And we got a couple of weeks till they're in camp, right? The first preseason games, I want to say, are the first weekend in October. So let's see. This is going to ramp up pretty fast.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and and a challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and challenge all-star.
And speaking of all-stars, All Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Joining us now to break down the big day in college football, you can follow him on Twitter at Jared Lee Smith. It's at Jared Lee Smith. Jared Smith, lead betting analyst at Pickwise, co-host Fox Sports Radio's Countdown to Kickoff, presented by BetMGM. Jared, what do you think? Syracuse, if they win tomorrow, top five, top three team maybe?
I do like Syracuse tomorrow, guys. Thanks for having me on. Excited for another week. I was actually looking at that game right now, right before I hopped on. So it is kind of funny that that's the first game you lead off with. Garrett Schrader's numbers look fantastic. And Syracuse's offense, only team in the country that has converted all of their red zone chances while also not allowing a score in the red zone.
Done.
Impressive stuff.
Garrett Schrader,
Syracuse so far this year.
Number one rated quarterback the first 2 weeks of the – he's the front runner for the Heisman. If the Heisman Trophy vote ended today, it's Garrett Schrader. It is. All right, but seriously, tomorrow, the big kickoff, you know, you're going to go right into kickoff with Georgia and South Carolina. Georgia's brand new number one. But South Carolina's got a pretty good offense. Can they keep this one close? Who do you like here?
Yeah, so Georgia to me is kind of the best team in the country right now. And I understand that it's on the road and it's an SEC game and all of those fun things. But when I look at the personnel on both sides of the football, I just see a lot of advantages for Georgia. The defense has completely reloaded. On the outside, they're absolutely stacked. And on offense, it looks like Todd Monken is just kind of letting things go. And I like that because when you look at Stetson Bennett, again, his numbers have been solid too. And there's not a ton of high-end talent on the outside in terms of pass catchers, besides maybe the tight end. But they're kind of just letting Stetson do his thing, and they're not shackling him like they did last year because they had that great defense. They almost said, Stetson, don't make any mistakes. We're going to win the game. Now I think they're a little bit more devil may care. At least that's the vibe I get from Todd Monken, and it's been impressive so far. So I don't like to lay big numbers on the road in the SEC, but I would be surprised if Georgia didn't put a hurt. I mean, Spencer Rattler's been terrible. That's what the ratings say so far. He's grading out as basically a bottom 20 quarterback in college football. And I just don't see a lot that I like with South Carolina here.
Jared, one of the game, noted Big Ten honk, Midwest football. Jason will now inundate your inbox with lots of questions of Syracuse and power rankings going forward. So
power ranking?
Just be ready for that going forward.
We're the power ranking?
But, hey, you know what? We got to do it. Oklahoma, 11-point favorites at Nebraska. Nebraska in the post-Scott Frost era, you know, trying to get a read on what they'll look like with interim coach Mickey Joseph at the helm. This is one of the games that I'm curious to watch because my Northwestern Wildcats helped usher in a new era there. So curious what the first step is.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity to bet on Nebraska, because if it wasn't for that win by Northwestern, maybe I'd still be wallowing in the Scott Frost era right now, looking at this Nebraska team as just a massive underachiever. And listen, in the gambling market, we live for these types of moments because the volatility, or I guess the unknown, of a new head coach coming in, it gives you a lot of upside. And obviously the floor is much lower because we really don't know what we're going to get with Mickey Joseph. But I think we knew what we were getting with Scott Frost, and that was holding a team back, which was, frankly, when I look at the grades, a pretty talented team. And when you stack these two teams up, Oklahoma and Nebraska, toe for toe, not a lot separates them in the just straight-up talent department. And I think that's where you look at Scott Frost and his record, especially in one-score games. Well, yeah, I know they didn't win a lot of those one-score games, but if they're in a lot of one-score games, that means that they're at least in the neighborhood. And it maybe just takes one of these, you know, sparks to you know, push a team that, again, has a lot of talent forward in a positive direction. And, again, I look at the quarterback situation, the quarterback matchup here. Both guys are transfers. They're both having great seasons. Skylar Thompson also has a ton of experience against Oklahoma. He threw 5 touchdowns against them last year as a member of Texas. So I can see a lot of positives for Nebraska here. And, oh, by the way, Brent Venables, his third game as a head coach, his first true road game in Lincoln, Big Noon, all the pomp and circumstance. You're getting double digits here with the Cornhuskers. I don't necessarily want to go so far and say they're going to win this game, but I think this game is going to be close.
Lead betting analyst at PickWise, co-host Fox Sports Radio's Countdown to Kickoff, Jared Smith with us here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, so before we get into a couple of top 25 games, every week everybody wants to believe in Notre Dame. No, this week they got to go. Okay. This week they got to go. Notre Dame, this week, what do you think?
You know, they're
you're full of confidence.
Print that one, AT.
All right. I don't know. What is that a BLRGGRRRH? What is that from Jay? I got okay.
Oh man. So when I look at, you know, Pro Football Focus does a fantastic job of giving me a lot of these player grades, and I like to dive deep into the individual matchups. And, you know, you get red light, green light, yellow light for kind of matchups and teams and, you know, units. And there's a lot of red on Notre Dame's board, especially at the quarterback position. And that's a very bad thing. And the part that surprises me the most, obviously it's a backup quarterback, and, you know, say what you want about that, what that says about the program and where the depth is at that position. But I think the offensive line being subpar is really the thing that surprises me. They only have one offensive line graded in the top 100 of every offensive line grade in the country so far. That's what Notre Dame should be. And I know the skill position guys, sometimes they hit or miss. The tight end is really good, Mayer. But outside of that, there just isn't a lot of talent on this Notre Dame, especially offense. And when you have a team that is clearly scuffling with their confidence, the one thing that you can overcome is, hey, I'm just going to get the ball in my playmaker's hands and let them in space do a thing. Well, Notre Dame really doesn't have that. And now it's a backup quarterback, and even the defense got pushed around by Marshall last week. So it's hard to find positives. And you're telling me I got to lay, and I know Cal's awful. And trust me, I'm looking at Cal's numbers right now. There's not a lot to like about them either. But it's hard to lay double digits with an offense that had struggling pushing Marshall around last week. Now Cal's going to come in with at least a couple of pieces up front. And, you know, they have a Pac-12 roster compared to, you know, a power or a group of five roster. So I would stay very far away from laying double digits with the Irish until further notice.
Okay, quick one before we get to another top 25. To follow up on Notre Dame, how much of a coefficient do you throw on motivation for a team that had such heights and now trying to reevaluate what they're playing for?
The motivation was there last week. You know, they were 0-2 under Freeman. It was his first home game. And they had lost in a fashion against Ohio State that gave people a lot of hope.
Right.
Where they were in that game and then they just moved it. So the motivation factor in college football The only thing that I use that in my handicapping for is on the letdown side. So we'll get to a game in a little bit. You know, perhaps that's a little bit of a letdown game with BYU and Oregon on the Cougar side. So that to me is when I look at motivation. They're 18 to 23 year old kids. If you can't get fired up for a game, then you have a problem. It's when you're coming off of a win and that high and you struggle to keep that momentum. That's kind of how I handicap the momentum side of college football.
Well, you teased it there. BYU getting 3.5 on the road at Oregon. Most people still remembering Oregon getting absolutely pasted in their opener. How do you evaluate this one?
Oh, man. You know, when you look at this game, it's really hard to judge Oregon based on what we saw through those first two games. And here's why. So you get that first game spotlight, Coach Lanning's first real big test, and it's against Georgia, and we don't know how good Georgia is because they lost a ton of talent. And it was obvious that Georgia was undervalued in the market. They exceeded oddsmaker expectations to the highest degree. And then they play Eastern Washington last week, and Eastern Washington typically is a good FCS team. They're down this year, so they're on the bottom end of the FCS programs in terms of they're not an upper-tier FCS program. So you get these opposite data points where it's really hard to judge what Oregon is. Then we look at the BYU side, and they've been fantastic, exceeding oddsmaker expectations. Again, last week they put together the perfect game plan to beat Baylor. And despite all of that, the line didn't move in their favor. And usually when it's sitting at that 3.5 mark, which is kind of where it is now, and you get a opposite spectrum game where Oregon gets, you know, embarrassed on national TV and BYU then the following week wins a ranked game, it usually that hook evaporates and you see the sharp money, the smart money come in on the underdog that's looking spunky. Well, the market hasn't moved in that direction. And that tells me, I think, that Oregon is probably the sharper side here. I think the distinction I want to make is Bo Nix at home compared to on the road. His completion percentage increases about 10%. Yards per attempt goes up 6-1 touchdown to interception ratio at home, while on the road, more interceptions than touchdowns. Well, Austin Stadium is going to be a very friendly environment for him. Oregon's got a 20-game home winning streak. It's the third longest in the FBS. BYU also offensively is going to be hamstrung, probably without their two best receivers. I don't think we're going to see a repeat of what we saw from freshman Chase Roberts, the 122 yards on 15 targets. He also threw a touchdown pass. BYU emptied the tank in that game against Baylor. Now you have to face an Oregon front that's as good, as nasty, and you're without your two top wide receivers. I don't think they're going to run it well. Might not be able to throw it if they're kind of hamstrung on the outside. How is BYU going to move the ball here? So I think the market's telling you that Oregon's the right side in this game.
So the national game on Big Fox. After that, another game I know you're hot on, Michigan State 2-0, Washington 2-0. A, how do you like this game? And B, if Michigan State starts out 3-0, does Mel Tucker get another $95 million?
Well, maybe he should make a donation to, you know, the secondary academy of America, because, you know, that is going to be the big, you know, matchup here that I'm going to keep a very close eye on. The Kalen DeBoer reunion with Michael Penix has been fantastic. 58% success rate, top 10 efficiency rating for this Huskies offense through two games. I think their wide receiver group is a little undervalued. They've got some talent out there that we're not really talking about because it's Washington and they're not the high-profile Pac-12 team, of course, with USC being in that conference. But again, Mel Tucker had to coach the secondary this year. That's how bad the secondary was last season for Sparty. And it's been okay so far this year. They're about 50th in passing defense, but they face two MAC teams that are outside the top 70 in passing efficiency. So I don't want to look too much into that. Now they head west, where they haven't won in 35 years, 0-5 actually in the Pacific time zone for Sparty over the last three decades plus. Peyton Thorne, too. We talk about those home road splits with Bo Nix. Well, the same could be said about Peyton Thorne. Completion percentage dropped 11% from home to road. Yards per attempt goes from 9.4 to 7.7. So say what you want about the Huskies defense, it's probably a little below average unit. I think Peyton Thorne might not be able to take advantage of that. Then you look at the advantages on the other side for Washington's offense against this Sparty defense, and I think we are going to see an edge there for the Huskies. And I love, again, Kalen DeBoer, talk about a coaching upgrade for this Husky squad. Fantastic stuff from him so far, and I think they've got some cooking going on there in Seattle that I'd like to see.
He's on Twitter at Jared Lee Smith. That is at Jared Lee Smith, lead betting analyst at Pickwise. Check him out tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, Fox Sports Radio's Countdown to Kickoff. Jared, appreciate it, my friend. Have a great day. And then when Syracuse wins, we'll talk about them in the top five.
Big fan of the Q's tomorrow, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate the time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray. Depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season 1, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Big day in college football tomorrow. We also had a big result already tonight. Joining us now on the hotline to break it down, there is nobody better. Your one-stop shopping for college football, collegefootballnews.com. Every preview, every bit of reaction you need. And the owner, proprietor, Grand Poobah, Pete Futek, joins us now on the hotline. Pete has already written in after Florida State's win tonight. Charlie Ward, number one on his Heisman ballot. Pete, welcome in.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Dude, Florida State is
fantastic.
Back, man. It's like it's 1995 again. It's terrific.
Oh, God. It's, yeah. You see this team? No. All I could think, they're so not back. But all I could keep thinking about is, hey, look, they're 3-0. They've won two really, really close games. And, man, Nebraska and Scott Frost would have killed for either one of these results, like the LSU or the Louisville game, because that's what Nebraska couldn't get for the last, like, 3 years, and Florida State managed to get there. But, look, that's the season so far. You know, with all these weird things happening, all that matters is did you win the game? Doesn't matter by 1 or 100, just get that win this year.
Well, they tried to be the Florida State of old as well by missing a field goal to give Louisville an opportunity.
Yeah, they did their part, but it was considering how optional the defense was for Louisville tonight, that I was shocked that they were still in that game late because they couldn't tackle a lick. But hey, look, Florida State's played all right. I mean, that's, and in the ACC, where, you know, what else you got? I mean, it's Clemson up top. NC State hasn't looked great so far. You know, Duke, okay, really? That's who we're dealing with now. I mean, there just aren't a lot of great teams so far. We'll see what Miami is tomorrow. But all right, hey, Florida State just keeps on getting better and better. And, you know, that was a nice road win.
Now, Pete, before we get to the games coming up tomorrow, I know you have a big take on the Arch Manning story because we found out earlier today that Texas paid $280,000 in the recruiting of Arch Manning. And you said, hey, why can't they cut out the middleman?
Seriously, why are they? Why bother? I mean, this is the silliest thing that we still can't get past. And it's like, okay, they spent all this money on, like, a party, and there's, like, a cruise, and all these other, like, amenities, the five-star hotel, and all these various parts of this. Like, if they just said, hey, look, Arch Manning, here's $280,000, and just come to Texas. You know, here's your fee to come visit us and give us a look. All right, so that's kind of how this kind of should work. And it's still so demonized that, oh, my gosh, we can't pay – you know, give kids players. That's just corrupting the system. What's it going to teach them? Well, it's going to teach them that's how the world works. If you're talented and people want you, they'll give you things. And that's how this kind of all works.
Sums it up pretty nicely right there as we flip
like us
through.
We're talented and people give us stuff, right? Isn't that how this works?
Every day I walk in the studio, they give me TVs, I get all kinds of stuff.
Sandwiches.
I really don't. If anybody don't get it, that doesn't happen, okay? It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen.
For sponsorship opportunities, inquire within.
Exactly. Where's my NIL money? I would more than have. Like, I just want like a sandwich or something. I'm not even getting greedy.
Oh, if you could pay me in sandwiches, I'm fine with that. If I get paid
totally.
In sandwiches, yeah.
Totally. I mean, really, what else do you need? If you have sandwiches and a TV, then honestly, like, what else is there?
Pete Futek has signed a 3-year, $4 million sandwich contract. He's going to get 3 sandwiches a day for the rest of his life. Congratulations.
Yes, yes, but I'm then going to hold out for the next, you know, place to try to get me. They'll add up like a bag of Fritos next to it or something. You know? So just upgrade a little bit more.
Your favorite chips mixed therein. All right, good slate of games on the docket for tomorrow. A couple that we're kind of eyeballing, and Pete, just for the second storyline. You mentioned Nebraska getting 8-11 at home against Oklahoma. Mickey Joseph, your interim head coach, can they keep it close and maybe even get over in a big Fox game?
I can't. You know, this is one of those where if you're an investor, just stay away from this one, because who knows? Because will we be surprised if all of a sudden Nebraska like comes out and just roars and like, oh, maybe there was a reason why they weren't winning all these close games before? Or it was, which is kind of what I actually think, is that the biggest failing under Scott Frost is he didn't get the guys. I mean, he never was able, and that's kind of one of the things that's kind of being whispered is, well, can you really recruit at Nebraska? I mean, there's no recruiting area. You have to go outside of there. So you've got to somehow get the players to want to come to Lincoln, Nebraska, and make that their home. And that's not as easy as it used to be. So I just don't think they have the players there. And I also think we're all underestimating Oklahoma. They're not flashy. They're more of a defensive-based team now. They're not going to come out and hang 60 on the board against everybody. But that's a rock-solid team. It just might come out there and just methodically get through. So there's going to be a big burst of energy early on for the Huskers. But I sort of think Oklahoma is going to kind of set reality and saying that, you know what? You know, look, Scott Frost is a good head. He's a good coach. Couldn't buy a break ever, you know, couldn't create his own breaks ever, and just Nebraska just doesn't have the guys quite yet.
All right, now, one game that gets my attention because I can see it being a letdown game. South Carolina is going to throw the football all day, right? I know Spencer Rattler has not been good, but I remember when Spencer Rattler, I'm old enough to remember when he actually was good. Georgia, I can see this being one of those ugly, flat kind of games, and South Carolina's getting a lot of points. I can see South Carolina keeping this close for a while, staying in some big plays, and it's just because it's a flat game from Georgia.
Well, what's going to be really funny about it, you mentioned Spencer Rattler, he hasn't been good. Did you kind of watch any of him play so far with South Carolina? Because the results aren't great. But, man, that guy, he flicks his wrist, and you're like, yeah, that's an NFL arm on that guy. And it's so funny to see how the two sides of this are going to be, where here's Stetson Bennett, who's 4'2" and 58 pounds, and he's slinging it all over the place and having a great year so far. And here's Spencer Rattler, who's got all the tools in the world. And, you know, he doesn't have Georgia's talent around him, certainly. And he just can't quite get that to work, Ari. But, like, yeah, if Rattler gets hot, that, to your point, that might be the one thing that could disrupt this Georgia thing. I don't think it'll happen. I think Georgia's just that good right now, and South Carolina isn't quite there yet. But, you know, let's see what happens, and let's see if Rattler can have a big day tomorrow. I don't think it's going to happen, but certainly that's one of those games they've done it before. If Stetson Bennett has one of these three interception games, which we know is lurking in there somewhere, I don't think it's happening, but that's certainly going to be one of those games to watch.
How is Iowa favored by 23.5 over
anything? How are they going to score? Look, I mean, I'm not joking. What's the count? I think they're two games they've combined for – the two games they have played have had point totals combined for, what, 27 points? And the over-under, I think, is 39.5. That's one of those where – it's a scene to go under on a 39-point total or something in college, but until proven otherwise, how do you not go with that? I mean, they just cannot score at all, and it's just I don't see how that's getting better anytime soon. I honestly thought at 7-3 over Iowa State that they were good. It was one of the running jokes. The studio show I do on Saturdays here in Chicago, you know, we were joking that, well, there's going to be a safety at some point, and 7-3, that should actually hold up, and it almost did. That's just how this team rolls right now.
Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com, with us right now, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, Michigan had the big change last week. Now J.J. McCarthy becomes the starter, which was really Jim Harbaugh's aim all along, and he kind of nuanced it to make this happen. Is he the real thing? He has certainly shown in snippets the ability that he has, the escapability, to be able to throw back across his body, but is he the real thing? Is he somebody that can be more dynamic and can win big games and beat Ohio State at the end of the year?
Oh, sure. I mean, if they keep, but eventually they're going to have to play somebody who actually can field the team of guys who aren't on crutches and you know, I think a couple of the teams they've played have had guys missing limbs. I mean, like, look at the schedule. Who have they gotten to? Was it Colorado State, Hawaii, UConn? I mean, look at that slate and tell me where they have problems for a while. I mean, they're going to build this thing up, and they have a true preseason schedule here where they can play around with their quarterbacks and they can see what they got and see who they like. And as we've talked about before, the great thing about what this is all affording them with this thing is you have to shuffle your quarterback, because the second that you announce who your starting quarterback is, the transfer portal comes and takes away everyone else. So Michigan, I mean, you know, you try to say, okay, well, is Michigan for real after last year? Well, the nice part about this is, again, their schedule, they're playing all these teams that they're blowing out by 50 without any problems. Not last week by 52, but they're beating teams, you know, handily. And they get to toy around with this. It's a luxury you have when you play an easy schedule to start the season.
Well, here's the other part of it, though, Pete, is that, okay, McCarthy's the quarterback. In 3 weeks, is Cade McNamara even on the team? Or is he in the transfer portal?
That's the argument.
I don't know that he's going to be there.
Look across the college football landscape. I mean, that's why TCU named like three starting quarterbacks. It's why Clemson refuses to give Cole Klubnik a whole lot of time, because the second that happens, you know, Oregon or someone's going to be on the phone to DJ Uiagalelei and being like, hey, you know what? We can use your services here, even though, you know, now they're going to change up the portal so you can't really just, like, leave and go do this. But yeah, that's just part of how this is all working right now. But again, if you're Harbaugh, you get to toy around with it. Or you look what happened tonight to Florida State. I mean, Jordan Travis starts out the game, what, hitting his first 12 throws, and was hitting everything, hurts himself, is on crutches. You need your backup quarterback. If you're Harbaugh, you've got to also be thinking, we got to get, this is a luxury to have this schedule, because we can get both these guys ready. If one of them gets hurt, we're going to need them against Penn State and Michigan State. Or you come up with packages for both guys, and I think you can utilize them both. And Harbaugh, for all his, you know, faults and all the criticism, he's pretty creative when it comes to these sorts of things.
Pete, last one, since we started talking about sandwich deals and maybe a frosty beverage or four, what's the game that's got you for tomorrow that by the end of it we've got our eyes wide open and maybe punched in the face by college football?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, Washington versus Michigan State, because this is where we know if Michigan State's for real, because what are the two things about Michigan State? They have to be able to run the ball well to do what they do, and this Washington team has got the healthy guys up front and a really good linebacking core. That's going to be hard to do, and they've got the passing game. Michael Penix Jr. from Indiana is now working in the Kalen DeBoer offense. They are winging it all over the yard. If the Michigan State pass defense is actually good after having a really awful year last year, we're going to know this fast. And the other thing to kind of watch out for tomorrow is watch Cal Notre Dame, because think about it. Like, if Marcus Freeman is the first Notre Dame head football coach to ever lose his first three games, what happens if he loses to Cal? You know, what does Notre Dame do? I mean, they're going to fire him. But wow, would that be disastrous? Or on the flip side, if you look at Notre Dame's schedule, there's some work to do. There's some good games to win coming up too. And so that Notre Dame performance tomorrow is going to be a really, really big deal.
He's on Twitter at Pete Futek. That is at Pete Futek, owner, proprietor, collegefootballnews.com. Every preview, all the analysis written by the man you just heard loquaciously on our show for the last few minutes. Again, collegefootballnews.com. Pete's on Twitter at Pete Futek. Coming up soon, I think tomorrow, Pete, you have your big 10,000 word Garrett Schrader for Heisman article coming out.
No, first of all, I'm literally hungry now. I'm literally going to go make myself a sandwich as we speak. But yeah, so yes, I will do that.
Take it easy, buddy. Enjoy the games.
Later, guys.
Bye, Pete.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.